What do you care about more? Your immortal soul or zombie takeout?
Hello and welcome to episode 444 of Zombie Takeout. The movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, with a little bit of further ado, we have a tweet from Bodo. Flesh and Blood is definitely a sword and fantasy movie. Knowing history like I do, when the military got done with mercenaries, they didn't just block off a city, take their weapons and money and let them go. They just killed them and took it all. I think you've got a good point there. Although there wouldn't have been much of a movie if they did that.
Full credits. Yeah. Just the cannons fire.
That's practically a Python sketch. Also, and this is more TV, although the first episode is an hour 15, so kind of a movie. Highly recommend if you're into Star Wars, check out The Bad Batch on Disney Plus. I wasn't a big fan of their Clone Wars episodes.
It was a bit ham-fisted, yeah, but it was fun.
But the series, at least the first episode, is a really interesting perspective.
I mean, let's be honest. Those Clone War episodes, they were just, you know, the A-team, you know,
yeah,
as clones.
But, I mean, and they get into this very quickly. This isn't exactly a spoiler. Order 66 happens within the first 10 minutes of the first episode.
I had been wondering what they were going to do with Order 66.
Right off the bat.
When it took place. That makes sense, though.
And because of their abnormalities, it doesn't affect them.
I wondered about that, too.
So it's a really interesting perspective on these clone troopers who weren't brainwashed. Hmm. Also, Kanan from Rebels has an interesting cameo.
Oh, okay.
All right, so on to this week's movie, which is from 1985, Flesh and Blood. Of course, that brings us to, before the impromptu pause. Well, no, we do have the impromptu pause. Right? Yeah. We're taking next week off now, you know
we
why.
We need a vacation.
So without any further ado, on to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the Middle Ages. It's a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there.
I don't even know if it's a nice place to visit, because this is also brought to you by modern technology. Thank fuck we don't live back in those days.
It's a nice place to visit through fiction.
Yeah, yes. To hear someone else's account
in the history
of it.
Yeah.
To sit at a Dungeons & Dragons table with your Cool Ranch Doritos and, I forgot what else we drank. Oh, vintage cola.
No jolt.
No. And then bourbon, of course. We got older. All right, so we have your classic fairy tale of boy meets girl. She'd been raised in a convent, so she's a bit weird. And, girl gets kidnapped by a band of roving thieves. Well, actually,
the mercenaries,
and they had a pretty good fucking point. If they had just gotten paid, they would have never come back at them.
Right.
So, they do a job, they're promised pay, they're stiffed over, and as Bodo said, I mean, they probably would have been killed, but you never know. They might have kept them around in case there was another battle, although who would really join him to fight? Although the one idiot came back willingly, I'm not sure, but we'll get to that.
Although if you screw them out of their reward, you can't really expect them to fight for you again.
Exactly, yeah. So, they unwittingly kidnap her, right? They really were just stealing the wagon to get the treasure that was in it, and she didn't jump. Which, again, if she had, roll credits, end of movie. Mm. But she winds up hiding in the pile of cloth or whatever, and the band of mercenaries starts getting very cult-like. They see signs. They have a cardinal or priest with them. I don't know if he's really a fucking cardinal. They call him a cardinal.
Right.
But, I mean, who knows? It's just stolen, rank there, probably. And Well, yeah, they start getting very cult-like.
There's this saint statue that they stole. That's
they
tied
find
to the
a statue of a saint that has the same name as their leader, and well, the princess, of course, pretty much charms him pretty easily, and kind of not sure which side she's really on. You see, she's kind of conflicted herself, I think, throughout most of this as to what to do in the middle of this craziness. And I guess that's the real draw of the movie. Like, what is she, you know?
She's also doing a lot of it just to save her own ass.
Exactly. She's in this horrendous situation, and she is trying to survive, but she has, like, these weird... She develops weird feelings, you know, and she's not even sure why, and she's not sure how to deal with it.
She's, from the beginning, even well before the kidnapping, she's a bored rich girl who likes to cause trouble.
Right.
So, she's kind of chaotic in that sense.
Right, and so she gets a taste of adventure here, and some thrills at the same time as pretty much, you know, her life really threatened. Because, you know, Rutger Hauer, you know, is fucking...
He's a mercenary.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot a title. It was going to be Do Statues Dream of Bronze Sheep, but oh well. we can't beat what we've got.
No.
Tears in the Rain.
I was trying to come up with something for that, but it just didn't happen.
I guess it'd be like Plague in the Rain.
Yeah, just I thought about that. It just didn't quite work.
But, all right, so I've derailed my own plot summary. So the prince, of course, plots to get her back, and they never got the chance to be married, just like in the Krull movie, right? There, that it's on the way to the wedding,
right?
And all hell breaks loose, and this is after Krull. But
well, I mean, it's not exactly a new story, but it wasn't when Krull did it.
That's true.
None of this was.
So he has this plot to get her back, and it kind of fails spectacularly. And, well, it was probably one of my favorite scenes of the movie, actually. Because you think he's building one thing, and he's not building something else. And, of course, I'm sitting there saying, suppose we built a large wooden badger. And, you know, Rutger Hauer has some tricks up his sleeve. Then, of course... he gets captured. He winds up surviving the battle unexpectedly. He survives. What a stroke of luck. And, you know, so many of these movies, they did them after Python, and yet there's so much things that just evoke what Python did.
Yeah, of course.
And you're like, did they realize what they were doing? Did they do it intentionally? Or did they just, I mean... Oh, I found a tree. What a stroke of luck. But so it's the standoff between the two of them, you know, one being captured, and the princess points out that the two of them are really similar to each other. And she gets proven right, of course, because they both, you know, like to outthink their enemies.
And she kind of betrays the both of them.
She does. Oh, yes. Which is why, you know, it's kind of, you know, confusing as to which side she's really on, you know, throughout and in the end.
Well, that's really, well, I mean, well, we'll get to the ending, but that was really my one issue, is that she did pick a side.
The Deus Ex Machina, of course, is the king is, or, well, I don't think he was actually a king. He's probably just some... you know, noble baron or whatever. Although they did call him a prince and a princess, you know, but who knows?
Yeah, I just referred to him as the prince in my notes. I couldn't think of his name most of the time.
But the father, though, the father wasn't really a king. He was just kind of a baron, really.
Okay.
I think so. I don't know if he'd actually be a prince.
No.
But it's easier to refer to him that way.
Right.
And so he comes to the rescue, was kind of disappointed that he was still alive, and the final battle in flames, and of course there's some plague, and hilarity ensues.
This is our second Paul Verhoeven movie.
Yes.
The last one being Showgirls. You know my feelings on Showgirls if you've listened for any period of time. But I think his, you know, need to be, you know, controversial and stir shit really works for this movie.
Yes, definitely. It's like Game of Thrones, after watching this, doesn't seem all that out there. It's like, wow, they just took this.
You mentioned Game of Thrones. I think Game of Thrones borrowed from this movie quite heavily.
Didn't we do Starship Troopers as well?
No, I don't think we have. I mean, I'll have to check later, but I'm pretty sure we haven't.
That seems crazy. How would we not have done Starship Troopers?
Right. I don't think we have. But particularly that opening battle reminded me a lot of the Siege of King's Landing.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, the black on red titles looked like they belonged in a martial arts movie.
Yeah. And I guess that's the problem. I'm like setting up, you know, during credits most of the time. So I missed some of it. And I'm like, hey, wait, what? What's this?
And then we see Howard dressed like Dread Pirate Roberts. And this opening battle, that, like I said, reminded me a lot of the Siege of King's Landing, but it also looked a lot like LARPing.
Yeah.
What I really like about this movie, though, it doesn't romanticize shit.
No, it does not.
And I think that's where Verhoeven's tendencies paid off beautifully, because it is so gritty and in a very mundane way.
Very cynical, too.
It's just very matter of fact.
I took a long time to do that plot summary, when really the plot summary is a rich asshole, you know, treats the people he hired like shit. Uh-huh. They come back at him.
Right.
And then he treats more people like shit to come get them back.
Yeah.
The end. Uh-huh.
But I just loved how matter of fact it all was. And it's just, this is life in this time period.
Yeah.
Nice gore on the nun when she's accidentally injured.
Oh, yeah.
One of the mercs is swinging a sword around this one room. He sees someone hiding behind these curtains. Ends up splitting a nun's head open. She survives it.
I mean, she took a shot at, like, she killed somebody with the musket.
Yeah, later. Also, I have to admit, did enjoy seeing her getting tied to the bed as a treatment. Also enjoyed seeing Brian James.
Oh, of course. It's always good to see him. And Ronald Lacey, much better in this movie than last week's. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the matter of fact, treatment of it though, one of the mercenaries, the woman who was originally with them, is pregnant at the start of the film.
Yeah.
Early on, she has the kid, but they're stillborn.
Yeah.
And it is just treated so coldly.
Oh yeah.
No sentimentality at all. Love that, because it is perfectly of the time.
Right, it's just, don't throw them in the mud kind of thing, and that was it.
Also love the contrast between, because before, you know, he gets kidnapped, there's this great contrast between, you know, this scholarly kid, this prince or whatever, and these incredibly gritty mercs. I just love that contrast when they first start, you know, playing with it. And as far as the rich girl, Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, I had a very hard time sympathizing with her. Because, I mean, the first time we see her, she orders her maid to go fuck her boyfriend so that she could watch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, breaks it up just as they're about to start. has her fiancé, the prince, chase her to these two hanging bodies so she could dig up Mandrake. It was kind of, going back to Game of Thrones, it was like Sansa before Joffrey.
Right.
Before she grew up a bit, you know, and had to deal with some shit, she was this annoying, bored, rich girl.
Well, exactly. I mean, Think about it. She's in a convent this whole time.
Yeah.
And then she gets thrown into the middle of this just insanity.
That's true. But
she sold the husband.
Yeah.
And the husband is just pissed to see her. Mm-hmm. So that's like a first, like, oh, wait a minute. This dude is like, because think about women in medieval times, mm-hmm. and just how, like, dependent they are on the husband. Right. And, you know, when I say dependent, I mean, is the husband going to be, especially nobleman, you know, if he's a psycho, your life is just going to be hell. You have no recourse. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do. But so he turns into, like, he's kind of an asshole to her when they first meet. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, she gets kidnapped by these lunatics.
Yeah. And I like that she did kind of pretend to like it when there's a couple of rape scenes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar to Daenerys in Game of Thrones, where, you know, she's sold off to this, you know, king, essentially, this leader, and he rapes her and she falls for him. Except in the case of Agnes, the princess, she's totally faking it the whole time to save her ass.
Yeah.
I liked that because it gave her agency.
And you just see the whole swirl around her just, it really overtakes her, you know, just the whole game of being the double agent.
Right.
trying to stay sane. And trying to, you know, like when the prince finally makes it in for her to, like, treat him like a dog and stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, I got to say, Jennifer Jason Leigh's acting has improved quite a bit over the last 36 years.
She's like, what, 23?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Much better now. But, I mean, it wasn't a bad performance. It fit the character, but it wasn't what she can do now, of course. I liked the way they got into the castle.
I mean, after last week's movie, it's Olivier.
Oh, yeah, of course.
after the last couple movies.
Yeah. I liked how they took the castle, the chimney bit.
Right. But wouldn't they have seen smoke coming out of that chimney? Sure, or if they sure. know they were going into a fire.
But yeah, it was just clever. Agnes and Martin, the Rutger Hauer's character, climbed down the chimney and basically jump out of the fireplace and chase everybody, get everybody to chase them to the front door. The drawbridge comes down. There are the mercs. Very clever. The plague angle was kind of unexpected.
What's that?
The plague angle was kind of unexpected.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I've seen this a few times, but it's been like, it's probably since the 90s since I've seen it. And so I forgot that. And yeah, I was half expecting them to reference the plague and then it disappeared, but it became actually a...
becomes a pretty important plot point. Do you think that it actually could infect that quickly, you know?
I think they sped that up.
Like she took a drink and it's just like, I don't know, like a minute later.
Also, I mean, okay, the water thing I get. But in general, they were kind of like, well, if you're around a plague, something that has the plague, you'll get it. I think you needed a flea.
A flea?
It's spread by, well, that's why rats spread it.
Because will any other fleas. Member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers do, though?
Ba-dum-bum. Okay. But it was the fleas on the rats that were the reason the plague spread, like it did through cities. I don't know if it was airborne like that. But I mean, I'm not sure about that. I might be wrong. But you saw signs of it. You saw the boils within minutes. That seems a little sped up.
Oh, she started throwing up. Yeah, but that could just because the water was really bad.
Well, that's true. But you also were seeing boils and shit. I think the sudden musical number was a little unnecessary. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm trying to think of...
One point where they just start singing and there's actual background music. It's a full-on musical number. It's very short, but it's there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of within... It was interesting how they showed how they entertained themselves when, you know, they weren't raping and killing, of course. Yeah. And torturing.
Almost forgot. For the most part, I liked the prince. You know, he's a geek. I enjoyed the character.
Oh, yeah.
The only time I didn't like him was when he and his father strong-armed the captain who was taking care of the nun.
Well, right. Again, another person they fuck over.
Yeah.
I mean, he did his job. He, you know, he's taking care of this woman from the battle and, you know, living his retirement finally.
Yeah.
And they strong-arm him into coming back. And then what I guess what I really didn't like about that was that he sticks to the job.
Yeah.
You know?
And ends up with the plague because of it.
Right. Well, it was after that, actually.
Oh, it was after like, that. Okay.
I think after the plague, when everybody, when things went boom.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
At that point, why didn't he just leave?
Yeah.
Like who? No one would pay you.
Right.
So
right.
It just kind of, I would just shrug my shoulders and just say, all right, I tried my best. So what, they failed? See you guys later. Mm-hmm. Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Right.
He stays behind and flings plague dog into the thing. Why would he do that?
Yeah.
I'm going back to my country home.
Right,
screw
right.
you guys.
I did like that they were able to drive off the prince's men by pelting them with fruit.
Yes. I shall taunt you again.
Also, I love the scene where the prince is correcting him on the plague. Like, he's just up on the latest plague science.
He's up on all the latest science. IMDb shows that the Da Vinci work that he references wasn't published until 1504.
Years
so
after.
Maybe he had correspondence with Da Vinci.
The line, if he wins, he starts married life as a widower, from Martin, basically telling the princess that if I can't have you, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and he wasn't tipping anything she didn't already figure out.
Oh, yeah.
Like that scene when they're on the top of the wall talking to him, he made it pretty clear that he was ready to toss her over if she did something wrong.
Liked the improvised tank.
Oh, yes.
Also clever. And that they brought back the barrel bomb. It's a barrel with explosive with a fuse wrapped around it. It's introduced in the beginning. They kill a red shirt. And then toward the end, they bring it back during the, you know, to kind of during the big battle scene.
Yeah.
I liked that she betrayed both of them. I just didn't like that she actually picked a side at the end. I was kind of hoping that she'd be alone.
It's she's still kind of hedged her bets altogether.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to pick a side, it was the right side, but you know.
Yeah.
But I would have preferred she's realizing like they're both idiots. I'm going to be alone. Although at that time period, I guess that wouldn't have made as much sense.
She could not have possibly lived alone. That would have been insane back then.
I do like how dark and tragic it gets at the end. Pretty much all of the mercs except for Martin are killed. I like how suddenly he seems to die, though. When you think he's killed, it's just kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then he shows up in the background a little later, and she sees him, you know, sneak away.
And doesn't tell. Because, and really, the reason not to tell, of course, also could just be, let's just end this. Stop this. Because this could just go on back and forth between the two of them forever.
And again, if it were feasible for the time period, I'm actually going to change my rating. I deducted a half a brain for her picking a side. But given the time period,
I've
that makes
more sense.
I've been on the
fence with my rating for this. It's a tough week.
Well, let's just go to brains then.
Well, sequels and remakes, obviously, they could have had a sequel. I mean,
yeah,
it was a bit I smell sequel with him.
When Martin runs off, yeah.
Yeah. But who knows, how that would have played out.
Yeah, the rest of the mercs are dead. And, you know, it would really just be him versus the prince again.
And I was reading up on Van Hooven last night, of course, most of his movies had sequels made out of them, but he never directed them.
Oh, God.
Like Total Recall, Basic Instinct, Hollow Man, like all of them.
I made the mistake of watching a few minutes of the Showgirls sequel. Do not do that if you value your sanity.
Starship Troopers, of course, had a number
Oh
of
God,
sequels.
yeah.
None of them had anything to do with him.
Mm-mm. On to Brains.
On the
Because you
Brains.
can't remake it without Howard.
No,
Oh.
I couldn't see it. And this is just a really weird thing. And you can't make it without Verhoeven either.
Yeah, true. I really like this movie. I liked it back in the 90s when I first saw it, and it holds up beautifully. I'm going 4.5.
I've been back and forth on whether to recommend this or not
I
because I mean
love that.
I enjoyed it a lot too. It's there's you know hopefully we didn't kill any of the suspense in it because there's a lot of like how the fuck is this gonna play out between the two of them? So I'm gonna go four.
All right, and what have we learned?
Rapers be tripping.
And I learned a couple of things. First off, I learned that all you need is one really good sword. And I also learned don't drink the water.
And don't listen to a fucking statue either, because that's just stupid.
Yeah. That's it for Flesh and Blood until 2 weeks from now. As I mentioned, we're taking next week off for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
When we'll be reviewing a band called Death. It's what I'm calling Death Week. On Zombie
Yes.
Takeout, it's a band called Death. On The Hearing, it's their album For the Whole World to See, I think it's called. For the Whole World to Hear. But we'll be more specific at that at a later date, but I don't remember
Right.
it offhand. But it's so we're devoting an entire week to the band Death. That'll be a lot of fun. And again, that's in 2 weeks.
I don't know if we've ever done a doubleheader like this before, have
I
we?
don't think so.
I don't think so. A crossover.
But of course, until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.